This is Rebecca Jernigan, your tour guide into discoveries, coming to you from the heart of America to around the globe via the World Wide Web, terrestrial radio, satellite, and podcast. Let's journey together into the realms of the unknown to the known in search of enlightenment, knowledge, and truth.
Good evening. Welcome to the show. My name is Stephen McKay. Rebecca could not be with you tonight. She has had to travel back home to Michigan to be with her father, who is very ill. And she's hoping to return next week, but it's kind of depends on how things develop there. Now, this evening's show will be UFO researcher Brian Vike will be the guest. This interview was recorded earlier this week, just prior to Rebecca leaving for Michigan. Brian is one of my favorite guests. It's been about a year since his last appearance on Journeys, so it's going to be a great interview. Now, by the way, Rebecca would love to hear your comments about tonight's show. She's able to get her email, and that email address is mailbag@journeyswithrebecca.com. mailbag@journeyswithrebecca.com. So let's get right into it. Rebecca and her interview with Brian Vike.
Welcome to each and every one of you to tonight's show. Tonight's guest is Brian Vike. Now, Brian Vike, he's an independent UFO investigator / researcher. And Brian owns and operates HBCC UFO Research. And a special thanks goes out to the Journeys with Rebecca Radio Network and all of my great affiliates. Now, you can check them out and more at my website. That's journeyswithrebecca.com. And once you're at the website, you can check out all the latest news under the Journeys News and the archives. We'd like to welcome a new sponsor to Journeys, perfectlyorganic.net. Now, please be sure to check that out, that website out, for the best health products anywhere. And I have that summer special going on right now for you to take advantage of for a personal and private reading by me. So again, visit the website for more information on how to schedule your own reading. And while you're there, sign up for the free Journeys newsletter. There we can keep you informed on a weekly basis of who the guests will be, the topics, and you will know beforehand. Okay, so here's what we're going to learn about our guest today. Brian Vike is an independent UFO investigator and researcher, director of HBCC UFO Research. He says he would never have imagined the UFO topic could ever keep him as busy as it does, but he certainly enjoys it. We're going to be hearing some great research stories from Brian tonight. A great topic. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Vitalizer Plus Advanced Oxygenation System. The Vitalizer Plus is scientifically documented to do four things. 1, structure water. 2, increase oxygen. 3, to add minerals. And 4, to add energy. Go to perfectlyorganic.net. That's perfectlyorganic.net and get yours now.
Check out Rebecca's website for the latest Journeys news and more. Log on to www.journeyswithrebecca.com.
Welcome back, and thanks for staying tuned. And as promised, I have my return guest, Brian Vike. Welcome, Brian, to the show.
Thank you, Rebecca. It's been a while, but it's always, always a pleasure.
It has been a long time.
I really enjoyed myself.
Oh, well, that's so great. And I'll tell you what, the people out there that listen to the show have missed you. I've actually gotten a couple emails. Where's Brian at?
No.
Brian disappeared
for a while.
You did for a few months, and then you just couldn't stay away, and we're so glad you couldn't stay away.
Yep, me too.
You know, I guess while the people are listening to the show here tonight, let's go ahead. I'm going to give out the two web addresses so they can go and scour around the website as they're listening, and that would be your website. First of all, you have brianvike.com.
Yes.
And then the HBCUFO.org is the other one. And, of course, for those of you who are listening, if you're on the Journeys with Rebecca website, all you have to do is click the link, and it'll take you right over to Brian's website, or actually over to the HBCC UFO website. So please check it out while we're chatting, and then that'll kind of give you some more information on what's going to go happen tonight. So what does HBCC UFO stand for?
Houston, British Columbia, Canada. That's the HBCC part. And, of course, the UFO research. But that, actually, that's where I live. That's where I reside here in a small town of about 3,200. That's in northern British Columbia, and it's called Houston here in British Columbia, Canada.
All right. Well, I just wanted to kind of clarify that for people.
Yeah.
So if they needed to have that information, they could.
Yeah, well, because a lot of people don't know, and I do get asked actually quite often.
And, you know, and I think it's a good idea that we just inform. That's kind of what the show's about. And speaking of information, Mr. Brian Vike, I know that you have been working very, very diligently, very, very hard on a lot of different cases. And I think what I want to do is maybe for those who do not know you or maybe just new to Journeys, if you could kind of fill them in about what is your job, what is it that you do, and then from there we'll go into some of the stories. And these are true stories, they're not made up stories, but some of the stories are cases that you're working on.
Well, I guess what I do is I report on what I receive. So, you know, I do that through my website and through my newsletter and the radio show. This is, of course, to get the information out to folks. I also try to pick out the cases that are maybe have a little more meat to them, and it's not disrespecting anybody else's sightings. Sometimes it's just very, very, very hard to follow up on something, maybe if a light has gone across the sky, that sort of thing. Is very hard to determine what it might have been. But I would like to note that that light going across the sky is still very important to me, because it might also fall into a really excellent case that I've already working on. So it's more meat for a case. But anyways, basically, I you grab a case that, wow, I don't know if I can do much with it, but you go with it anyways, and you try to dig out any kind of information you can, such as other eyewitnesses. You contact the media. I have a good luck with the media. The media actually have been doing a lot of writing to me because they've been listening to either the show or less, they're scouring the internet, or they'll have it actually set up on Google Alerts, UFO Alerts, and they're getting these alerts and then they contact me and say, Brian, we'd like to do an article on this, which is great, because that's what I'm trying to do, is find other people that may have been in that area at that time, say, but had a particular sighting here in 1972, say in Fort Stockton, and might have witnessed this entire event, So this is what you do, and you try to dig up everything you possibly can. You go through every mean you can. I built up some great sources along the way, and this is it, trying to find detail, trying to find an explanation to what somebody saw or what event, what happened in that event. And, you try your best, and it's very hard, because when you get into the weird stuff,
tough. Well, and there's a lot of people I know that there's still stigma attached to all of this stuff that we're doing.
Whether
we talk about, angels and guides or consciousness or quantum physics or UFOs or, spacecraft or extraterrestrials, there is just so much stigma still attached to it. And it's not as much. It's a little bit more, it's better than what it was, but it's still, there's a stigma attached. There's a lot of people that still poo-poo it,
Oh, you betcha. And that prevents people from coming forward still. Although I have, the people that have talked to me and that, they're wonderful. I don't know what it is, what the deal is, but they really do open up. And, they're willing to say, go live on air if it's somebody else's show, and I bring them on as a guest or mine or whatever. But there's so many. I got, interviews that are all lined up like crazy, just going. But that just goes to show you that so many people are interested. Hey, look, I saw what I saw, and I'm sticking to my guns. I don't care what anybody tells me, tries to tell me it was. It wasn't. It was something very unusual. I couldn't explain it, and some of these are. So, but you still get that the ridicule factor, as everybody says. And I don't blame. I honestly don't blame people for not coming forward. Although I hope they do, because I hope they, for myself, speaking for myself, they can trust me. I'm not going to blab their name or personal information off the internet or anywhere else. It's private between me and that witness. Unless they want to go a step further, that's fine with me. But there's still a big problem, and we still only get a very, very small percentage of actually what is being seen out there.
Well, and so one of the things that you mentioned right early on was Fort Stockton. Now, aren't you working on something?
Oh, my God.
Well, all right. Well, so tell everyone what this particular case is about, because I find it rather fascinating.
Oh, this is a dandy. Now, for folks, there's interviews that they can actually listen to, so they can go to my site and they can find them. Or I also got a blog. There's a blog link off there. They can listen to the interviews of the actual case. So, in other words, the person who's speaking. And matter of fact, I'm going to have the gentleman's mother coming on. She's an elderly lady, and she's going to come in and fill us in on a lot of stuff. So just off the top, there's that. And then there's the text reports. It's a monster report. It's in some magazines already. Actually, somebody's already converted it into another language and that, and it's gone wild. But anyways, here we go. Here's a gentleman. He's a youngster, and this is back in Fort Stockton, goes back to 1972. Now, the kids, his brother and dad, of course, going to school and so forth, but his dad used to pull them out of school and help them, want the kids to come along in the truck to deliver Dr. Pepper, the soft drink, to the town and different stores in Fort Stockton. So anyways, here they are, he pulls them out of school, and they're driving around the town and so forth, and as they're rolling down the road, there's a sort of a school off to the left, and dad, sort of a little bit of a gruff man, they told me, or at least the one fella. I can mention his name, Carl Wilson. And his dad poked him in the ribs while he was sitting beside him in the truck. And he says, "You ever seen a UFO? Well, there's one over there." Well, they look, and I guess Carl was, as a youngster still. I mean, he was a youngster, but he was in shock. Holy smoke. Now, this thing was totally... It was humongous. It was gigantic. It was shaped like a giant boomerang, or at least that's the closest he could get to a description, because he did some great graphic work. He actually went back to the area where this object was seen and took photographs. Now, the photographs he brought back home, and he used Photoshop to embed a graphic he made up, to sort of illustrate what this object looked like and the height and size and so forth. Now, this thing sat over one of this little elementary school, and he said if you would have climbed up on the roof, you could have touched this stinker. It was sitting there hovering. It didn't move. It just sat there. Well, he was flipping out. And, so they got to the first store there, which was just basically across from the school on the road there, and he went in, and he happened to mention his school. He said, "Hey, did you see that thing out there?" Because he said, "Hey, well, what were UFOs really?" They didn't know much back then about it as a youngster. And so the guy got a store owner come out, and he looks at it and says, "Oh yeah, it looks pretty strange," and walks back in. Now this sounds totally crazy, but this is what was happening throughout the whole town. The whole town was completely, the people were stopping at the side of the road, getting out, looking at it, or not getting out and looking at other vehicles and looking at things and then driving off. It was like they were so passive, like somebody zapped them with something to say, Hey, there it is, but nothing's happening. Just carry on with your business."
Oh my goodness, that sounds like a Men in Black scene.
It's so weird. It really is. And then as they watched this and that, and they drove around, stole deliveries. The father stole delivering, to Dr. Pepper with the boys, and everywhere they go, and they're seeing like this one big, this large craft. And then the last stop, they ended up anyways. Dad says that he's going in for a coffee or something, and he sat in the truck, and as they approached anyways, close to this refinery where the dad was going to go in a restaurant, here's this another great big boomerang-shaped craft sitting over top of this refinery. And, I mean, he was freaked out. Now, he did say that when his dad came back, because his dad wasn't too seemed to be emotional or excited or anything else, when he did get back to the vehicle, he was a little stressed, and they ended up going, and that was it, pretty much gone. There was a lot more to this story, which Carl didn't want to relate at that time. I guess maybe he was trying to maybe feel me out to see how I felt about it. I don't know.
Well, there's that stigma, see? People are a little wary, yeah.
And then he started opening up. And then what he opened up to was he's definitely had multiple abductions. Like he said, dreams became a reality, which he thought were dreams. Well, they came in reality. I mean, he says he used to work for one of these companies anyways, and court system. He used to have to go to some town or county and go into court, and he'd spend a lot of time there. We're not talking, weeks sometimes. So he'd get an apartment, and this one day he's sitting in this apartment, and he can hear this ruckus down below outside. So So he peeked his head out the window, and basically here's some people sitting there having a beer and whatnot and hooting, hollering and so forth. Well, I guess he looked out the window, and one of the women spotted him and sort of looked up. And when she looked up, she spotted a UFO over top of his apartment building, and she sort of points it out to everybody. Of course, Carl turns around, sees it up above, and all of a sudden, he said these bolts of lightning, blue lightning, kind of a trip, hit each of these people. And when it hit each of these people, they disappeared. And even one of the beer cans somebody was holding dropped to the ground, and they were gone. Now, he said he, well, scooted back in, and, you know, it's a little more frightening than this. That sounds, I'm making it out to be. But he's, took off back in, eventually lay down in the bathtub, figuring this is a good place for him to sort of hide. And this blue light actually, penetrated inside this room in his apartment and sort of bounced around. It's like it was almost searching for him. I don't know if it was, but that's what it sort of appeared to, I guess, at that time. And then, bang, he was gone, too, and he remembers being dragged down his tunnel of some building. Actually, it sounded a lot like the Fire in the Sky, the old Travis Walton case.
Yeah, it
does.
To
some extent, anyways, the way he went on and told about what he could see, the rubbish and garbage, glasses, cans, clothing, and so forth, down his little tunnel, right, being dragged down his tunnel. So it was quite similar. So, that was sort of the shorter version of that, but there's a lot more to it. There's a lot more to come. And it's just an absolutely fascinating case. And not only that, too, Rebecca, was when I posted this report, I got this report out, and then I had a really nice lady from Mineral Wells, Texas, also another county. She says when she was a youngster, this is going back in around the 70s, she said 74, 75, she was only a very young person. She was out playing in the backyard, and all of a sudden, she looks up and sees this great big boomerang-shaped craft. Now, reason why she wrote, she says, I seen the posting on a website, and she says, I screamed, and my husband come running in now, this is nowadays, come running into the computer room to see what was the matter with her, and she pointed out, and she says she was absolutely shaking because that was the craft she seen when she was a youngster. And then she went in and called her grandfather out. Her grandfather eventually came out anyway, and she showed him the craft, and he, so big deal, walked back in, and that was it. They went to the stores and so forth, and this craft's around town. Now, you talk about weird, and here we got
there's that Men in Black movie again.
Yeah, and then to top it off, which really turned out quite nice, actually, I ended up, another fellow wrote to me, he says, I've seen this story, seen a story on the internet here, and he says, I just wanted to make sure that you were aware of, and this took place in Missouri, actually St. Louis, Missouri, and it's going back into, I think it was around 1981, between 1981 and 1983. Here, the dad, he's sitting inside, he's having a beer, the kids and the wife are outside, the kids are playing, and the wife's doing some gardening, and one of the playmates is a little girl, she give out some kind of a little shriek or whatever and pointed out this object in the sky. It was right over top of these homes. And then the boy looked, of course, the mother looked up, and wow, we're all looking at this boomerang-shaped craft, this huge thing. Now the son who's seen it, who was the little boy, he didn't know anything about this as of yet because I was talking to his father just recently. So the neat thing about this was, The gentleman gave me his phone number, so as soon as I got the report, I fell off my chair, and I picked the phone up right away, and I called the dad, and we had a wonderful talk, and we're talking on the phone. He says, all I can remember when I eventually got out, and I'll give you a little more on that, he says, all I said was this great big object, it was very bright, but it was in the distance, it was moving away. So he says, I can confirm there was something in the area, there's no question about it, and I can also confirm how everybody was acting afterwards. So he says, but you got to talk to my son. I don't know if he'll talk to you, but I'll try anyway. So a friend of his came in, and I'm sitting on the phone talking to this gentleman, and a friend of his came in. He said, so-and-so, can I use your cell phone? The guy said, why, of course, why not? He said, just give me your cell phone. I've got to phone my son. I'm on the phone with a ufologist here. So he's got dials up a son on the cell phone. I'm listening to the father and the son talking back and forth. He says, is it okay if Mr. Vite calls you? And he said, okay. So I called the son, who is now in his mid-30s, and I asked him, could you give me some information, so forth, on what you saw? And he basically explained, they were outside, and he explained a banana seat, the little girl's on her bike, and a whole ball of wax, and it was really quite good. And he gave me the details about this, you know, big thing, he said, and we watched. And it was my mom watched it, too. But I says, okay, here, I want you to go to a website. Well, I was on the phone, and because he had the computer in front of him also. He went to the website, and he brought up a picture, which I directed him to, of this object. And all of a sudden, you could hear this dead silence.
Oh, no.
And then he said, that's pretty much exactly what I saw. He said, it was actually, now I see it in, see a diagram, a graphic of it, you know, on a real photograph. He said it actually just sent chills up me. But he did explain later on when I talked to his father also, the son did some diagrams up, you know, and again, he was a little boy, and he did some diagrams, you know, the best he could, and he gave them to his father, and his father later that day, in the his wife was making actually dinner, he took the diagrams in to show his wife, and she couldn't remember anything about it.
Wow, and oh my goodness, Brian, we're going to come back to that story, but we're out of time. You guys, stay with us. We got lots more with Brian Bike right here.
For 58 years, Fate has provided true reports of the strange and unknown. Fate is a factual magazine containing articles by experts in all walks of life and by others just like you who have something dramatic, significant, and truthful to say. Keep up with the latest on all aspects of the paranormal, angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, and much, much more. To receive your free Fate magazine, call now, 800-728-2730, or visit our website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730, or www.fatemag.com. What are you waiting for? Your fate waits.
Email Rebecca with your comments to mailbag@journeyswithrebecca.com. You're listening to Journeys with Rebecca.
Welcome back, and thanks for staying with us. Here is Brian Bike is with us today, and we're talking about some of the wonderful cases he's working on. Now, in the last segment, you left off where the mom said she didn't remember anything. That kind of goes with some of the stuff that you were talking about with the one up there in Fort Stockton, where, you know, I kept mentioning the movie Men in Black, where all of a sudden they just don't remember anything, or they're passive, and you know what I mean?
Exactly. And, oh, yeah, both definitely.
Really bizarre.
It's bizarre because there's so many people who supposedly, I mean, you know, I haven't found a lot of these people, but, you know, of course, in the Fort Stockton case, I'd like to find somebody in that area also who saw this, who maybe thought it was not a big deal, or was it like a whitewash from their mind, you know. I don't know. I really don't. And sometimes I don't even know if I want to tread on some of those things. But the thing is, I would love to find some people. And, you know, I was really interested in trying to talk to, I think it was the Pioneer News, I think it was, Fort Stockton, yeah. And I contacted them, not a reply, which is fine. I mean, you don't always get a hit off the media. But also, Carl also contacted, he's a witness. He contacted me, and he ended up talking to a new reporter just been there a week. And she says, oh, it sounds fascinating, but, you know, I have to leave it up so the editor, no one's heard nothing. I'm trying to find somebody from the Fort Stockton area at that period, that in 1972, who maybe saw that.
All right, so here's the challenge then for anybody out there listening. If you know of anyone, or if you know of anything, please don't hesitate to get a hold of Brian for some further investigation on the Fort Stockton back in the early 70s. On the UFO sighting. So we're going to issue a little challenge. How's that right here now?
Sounds awesome. And, you know, and like there's that, and of course the Mineral Wells, Texas, and the St. Louis, Missouri. I mean, they've all seen exactly pretty much the same craft, and we're talking about craft that's just gigantic.
Well, and that's the interesting thing, because I'm thinking, Brian, and I don't know for sure, but I'm thinking the one there in St. Louis, Missouri, was the one that they had just done a little television show on that showed six separate sightings. And this particular show was all geared towards the law enforcement officers who were responding to reports of something huge, gigantic, mammoth in the skies. And almost invariably, they all said that it was like a boomerang or triangular type shape, so much so that one of the police officers, they illustrated it on the television show, showed a picture that looked just like a boomerang.
Right.
And so I'm wondering if this isn't the same one that was sighted six different times on the same day. I mean, they have it very well documented as far as the timing of when these sightings occurred.
Exactly.
So anybody that's got any more information on that, give Brian a call.
You know, I'll tell you, Rebecca, it doesn't matter if there are a lot of people out there, and you know, if they've seen something, mam, maybe... 5, 10, 20, 30, whatever, 40 years, how far you want to go back. You know, a lot of people think that, you know, we're not interested in those because what do you do with them? You know, they're so far, it's hard to get information and so forth. They couldn't be more wrong. I'll tell you, some of these older cases are absolutely fascinating. I mean, listen, I've said this so many times, well, and written it down so many times, it's probably a broken record now. But I find some of the older cases just more fascinating than new stuff. So I'm on those like a dirty shirt. You know? I really am. So I, you know, if anybody does have reports that go back many years, oh, you're more than welcome to send them in because, I do reply to folks, and I like to do. I really like to try to see if I can dig something out, and a lot of times I come up dry. Probably more times than I do come up with something. You know.
Well, but you got to try. I mean, that's the
right.
Whole point.
Exactly. Exactly. And what, even the Fort Stockton there case too. He sent a lot of pictures. Like I said, the diagrams in of the actually real pictures, but in like I said, embedded the graphic that he did just to illustrate what this thing looked like. They're up there. But he also with the new thing with the dreams become a reality sort of thing. That's what he was saying. He sent a lot of scoop mark pictures, laser cuts, and stuff all over his body. I mean, it's kind of weird that he can be sitting, laying in bed and having a night's sleep beside his wife, and he's going through these horrific dreams of him something being, he's got like, he called it like intravenous needle into his arm, into his neck, so forth. And, and eventually, I mean, there's a lot more to it than that, and he completely freaks out and, wakes up, whoa, and then he wakes his wife up and, asks her, boy, I just had this terrible dream, Hey, thanks a lot, most women would say, for waking me up. But after she sat there for a minute, she says, well, I've been dreaming the same thing.
Oh, no.
She had the same intravenous and things in her arm and her neck. So they've been, collaborating on what's been going on and been documenting this stuff over the years, which is really good. Big, long fingers, bruise marks left on, the bodies, their bodies, but they're long, slender, like finger marks. But they're bruising, like, say, if somebody was holding them down quite tightly. So, I mean, it just goes on and on and on and on, and this is not even finished yet. I haven't even begun on this when there's so much more information to come.
Wow.
So it's really quite amazing. But there was another one, too, that I'll tell you, if there's, it's about a 3.5 minute interview. It's free on the site. They can just go there. I call it Listen to the Thousand Oaks Experience. I think I got it as a little banner on my site. Now it just goes directly to us to the interview, eh? And anyways, this one comes from Thousand Oaks, California, and again, this one goes back many years, 1975, and this involved a lot of people, and they were on a dead end road, so their house was at the very end. Well, the weird thing was there was the mom, the dad. There was Vivian, which was Steve's, and I can mention all these names, by the way, so I'm not giving out anything I'm not supposed to. Everybody's giving me permission. There was the mom, the dad, and then when there was Vivian, that was Steve's wife. Of course, Steve was there, and Rick was there, and her cousin was there also at that house. Now, they all were outside, or some of them were outside here on this one particular night, and all of a sudden, this great big blue massive ball of light comes flying over the house. I mean, this thing was right over the house. And I mean, we're talking low and quick. And then as they turned around and watched, they watched this thing hit the field. But it didn't explode as, you might think of something impacting into the earth or whichever. It sort of dissipated. And as it dissipated, it sent out these streamers of this blue, weird electrical light. It was going all over the place. and you know, which was bizarre enough. You know, they thought, wow, that's pretty weird.
Yeah.
And anyway, so that was fine. Not too long after that, a tree burst into fire. A big pine tree burst into flame. Now, the pine tree, so everybody knows, it wasn't close to this area where this thing had hit. This is a ways away. All of a sudden, this tree just burst into spontaneous combustion of some sort or not. Anyways, the fire department had come out and put the put this tree out what was on fire. And this is all over this sort of a sage, with purple flowers on it. All whole hillside, was covering this sage. And so anyways, that sort of started that out. That was the first night. They thought, wow, this is pretty weird. The next night came along. Here they, all of a sudden, you know, they're just, you know, listening to TV up in the room and so forth. And Rick, one of the brothers there, said, hey, turn the TV down. I hear something. So they eventually turned it down, and all of a sudden they could hear this in a far-off distance. I mean, it couldn't have been too far up, but it was in the distance, this scream. Now, the scream sounded like, they said that it's so hard to even describe. Part human, part animal, pain, fear, you know. It was such a scream that you just
curled your
no
toes.
Idea what it could be.
Yeah.
But it was terrible. It was blood-curdling, I guess. Anyways, they could hear this thing. But it was moving around. So, in other words, you know, they couldn't hear any bushes moving, but they could tell from the sound was here and then it would be over here and so forth. And so, you know, and then all of a sudden, you know, they just, it sort of stopped. And then they turned the TV back up and carried on with watching the show. All of a sudden, anyways, as they hear, the scream started up, but it was a little bit closer to the house this time.
Uh-oh.
And, you know, so the dad and the brother, actually the two brothers went outside. Steve went around the corner, so he walked out the front of the house, out of the carport, and they walked around the side of the house. So he stopped there, and he was listening for the scream. Now, the dad and the other brother, Rick, they were standing out in the front. Now, here again, we have, I think it was three large, or fairly good large basketball size anyways, like spheres, not orbs or nothing. These are visibly seen, and they're this bluish color, and are sitting there, hovering above them, you know, above the house, sitting there. All of a sudden, they just whammo, took off and disappeared. And, well, didn't disappear. They disappeared after they hit the hill. They ran in the hill and disappeared. When they hit the hill and sort of did this really freaky light show, all of a sudden that scream just, that was the loudest they ever heard it. They said it just went completely wild, this scream. And it's just blood-curdling, like I said. Anyways, eventually it moved closer to the home and so forth. So they ended up phoning the police. The police came out. Of course, the police didn't hear nothing at that point. So no sooner did that, and he was there for a while. He shot a spotlight on the side of the hill and so forth. He eventually got back in the car and took off down the road. No sooner just turned the corner, the scream started back up. And the scream started, this big shriek, and then a short pause and a beep. And then you had the scream and a short pause and a beep, and this continued on. And eventually, anyways, it got so close to the house that everybody was sort of huddled in there, and, you know, we're up in the bathroom at this point, looking out and trying to see if they could see something, although it's dark out, eh?
Right.
Well, they couldn't, it was moving all around the back of the house. They had no idea what it was. I'm trying to shorten this up a little bit. All of a sudden, they come walking out. I think it was around midnight, roughly. Anyways, they, you know, some of them were walked. Yeah, Steve walked out. I think Viv walked out and so forth. And all of a sudden, the whole entire of their home, the entire home inside, lit up in this really sort of a bright but soft white glow. I mean, it was blinding. And all the, and I know Steve said he could see something coming up the stairs, a figure, some kind of a shape. Couldn't make it out, it was a human, whatever it may be. But it was coming up these stairs. And all of a sudden the light was gone, it was gone. And anyways, right after that, everybody was sort of, well, you know, yeah, I think I'll go to bed. You know, I think I'll call it a night. And, you know, I thought that was kind of weird. But, of course, it was about 4:30 from, say, around midnight-ish to all of a sudden it was 4:30. So something happened, of course. There's a lot of time missing there.
Wow.
You get what I mean? So anyways, of course, the next day, you know, everybody was really, really sort of burnt out, tired, you know, from whatever, I guess, the night's events or what took place of that missing time. And some of them went to work. Some of them stayed home. Some of them went out in the field to have a look around, and they found these circles out there. Not like they were burnt or anything like that, but there were definitely these circular impressions made in the sage and so forth, the ground. And, you know, nobody knew what caused that. Then there was this sort of little bit of aftermath, you know, where the dad passed away not too long after. They had two German shepherds that they chase squirrels, rabbits, you name it, whatever there. They had no fright of anything. Anyways, there's no way Steve had to go drag them out of the doghouse that night when all that beeping and screaming and all this lights flashing and whatnot. He had to go bring them out of the doghouse and drag them basically into the carport, you know, because they were so frightened, you know, what was going on. Anyways, one of the dogs had passed away shortly after that, too. Steve encountered he had come down with an illness, 106 temperature, so far. It just went on and on and on and on.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, it's to read the whole report. It's fascinating.
Well, that's definitely a close encounter, I'll tell you.
Oh,
that.
It is. It really is.
Wow!
You know, so lots of stuff happening.
Oh my goodness! Well, let's talk about the next thing I want to talk about is a more recent event, which is about the meteorites.
Yeah, this is kind of cool. Okay, this took place in March. Hey, we got a recent one. March 11, 2007, Ontario, here in Canada. Anyways, what I was doing, I happened to be tuning into a radio show on a computer, and I was sitting here, because I was bored, there was nothing on TV or something. So I'm tuning into this thing, and I thought, oh, let's check out my HTTP referrals, which I can get through my administration of my website. And it tells me where people are coming from and what they're searching out on the Internet to get to my site. So all of a sudden, like Ontario, or they might have like a Sudbury or Ottawa, whatever, in Ontario, Meteor. Or they might put Meteor March 11, 2007, or somewhere. There was some in the States, too. Holy moly. I said, man, there must have been a meteor, good meteor sighting with all that many people looking. So I went and I posted a note to my site. It says, if anybody has seen a meteor sighting, you know, in Ontario and the northern states, you know, I named the states just below, Michigan and so forth. I said, please contact me. I'm very interested to know. Well, it couldn't have been about half an hour later I got a report in. So somebody must have been looking around and come to my site, of course, for looking for something else maybe, and they spotted it and they sent me a report in. Another report came in a little bit after that, say an hour, hour and a half after that, and that was it. I shut her down for the day, for the night. And the next day I got in, I said, holy moly, look at all the reports. Well, I guess that Google had spidered the site and it put this up, so people who were searching for it, I was the first guy up the top to find on the search engine. Well, I got tons of these meteor sightings in for the 11th of March, 2007. So I thought, wow, you know, no question about it, it was a meteor. I did have some, there is some discrepancy in some things because the media not reported the meteor broke up over Ontario. But the problem is it was seen in Michigan, some parts of from New York, Indiana, and I think, Ohio, I think it was. Anyways, the areas around there. And so how did it get down there? And then they had reports of it almost missing people on the road, so traveling down highways. I got a couple of reports of that, one in Ontario and one down in Michigan. So, you know, you never know if it's just sort of somebody, you know, misinterpreting the whole event or whatever, but, you know, fascinating. Anyway, about the 14th, so after the meteor sighting, the 14th March, a sighting report comes in and another one comes in, and they started coming in like somebody just opened up a floodgate. So a good friend of mine, his name is John Hayes, he's over in the UK, and he's got a site called UFO Info. And he gets his reports, he sends everything over to me, and I follow him up. So I was getting reports from him, of course, for Ontario. I was getting a stack of reports from Ontario, and I said, holy smokes, what's going on here? We ended up with, my last count was 81 reports. And for this year, most of them were March and April, for sure. So they had a big wave of UFO sightings going on. And I couldn't tell you what was going on. But I do know is that, that wasn't even included in some of the interviews that I'd done. And mind you, it's probably closer to about, 94, 95 now. There's been more come in, you know, for those dates. But people were seeing triangles, a lot of triangular crafts, almost just transparency to them. Very weird. Orbs. Now, not orbs as you might see in a picture kind of thing. These are actually solid objects that were sitting, hovering in the sky, three of them together in one instance, and sat there. The family of two of them ran out. One ran back to get the camera and get the mom. As they come out, the mom saw this whole thing, these things sitting there. As they got the camera ready to go, these things shot off. But when they shot off, they left like a smoke cloud behind them. And that's what they got. They ended up getting a picture of. They said, I've never seen anything like it in my life.
Oh, my goodness. Know? And, Brian, we need to come back here in just a minute because I want to talk to you a little bit more about some of the information from here as to what they were saying these meteors were and what the sightings that went along with this meteor. You guys don't go away. We're going to be right back with more of Journeys with Rebecca and Brian Bice. Vitalizer Plus, Advanced Oxygenation System. Now, the Vitalizer Plus is scientifically documented to structure water. Powerful magnet and infrared forces reduce the size of individual water clusters, creating hexagonal water for more rapid penetration into your body. Increased oxygen. Turbulent forces create a visible vortex, increasing the amount of oxygen in your drinking water up to 30%. Add minerals. A mineral core within the unit releases structure-making minerals during the vitalization process to help structure the water and increase alkalinity. Add energy. The resulting energy in the vitalized water is enough to begin to balance the organs of your body within minutes after drinking. So go to perfectlyorganic.net and get yours now.
Fate Magazine, providing true reports of the strange and unknown. Keep up with the latest on angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, life after death, and much, much more. To receive your free issue of Fate Magazine, call now, 800-728-2730, or visit our website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730, or www.fatemag.com. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Close your eyes for a moment and imagine you're away from it all on a remote, unspoiled beach somewhere. Take a deep breath and enjoy the warm sea air. Sunlight streams through the palm trees as gulls call out from above. A real paradise like this isn't easy to come by, but it does still exist. And with your help, places like this one can last forever. You see, the Nature Conservancy works locally with communities, businesses, and people like you to preserve the most precious natural places around the world. They protect the animals that live there, the plants that grow there, and even the water. That way, this beautiful place will be beautiful forever. And we'll make sure that closing your eyes will never be the only way to get there. I'm Paul Newman. Help the Nature Conservancy save the last great places.
Visit the Nature Conservancy at nature.org. That's nature.org.
Talk with an intuitive touch. Journeys with Rebecca.
Welcome back, and thanks for staying with us. And my guest today is Brian Bice. And the last segment, Brian, we were talking about the meteor. That was back in March, and some of the reports that you had got in. I just kind of wanted to make a quick mention of some of the things that went on here. You know, of course, I'm in the mid part of the country here in Kansas City area. Mm-hmm. And, of course, they talked about the meteorite, and there were people that had responded saying that they had seen, like, balls of light similar to what you were talking about, or balls, just kind of spheres sitting out there, as well as some boomerang shapes, and then some that were triangular-shaped objects. And, of course, the media did jump all over that and say, well, that's just debris from the meteorite. I was like, well, I wasn't really thinking that meteorites are going to break off, you know, conformity of boomerangs, but, you know, it could just be me. I don't know.
No, I don't know. I agree with 100%. I mean, sure, if you have a meteor sighting, as far as I know, hey, I mean, I had one out of here in Terrace, actually. Really interesting one. Oh, no, gosh, a lot of people saw it. And it was in broad daylight, so it was really cool. And it was very low, and it was breaking up and burning up. And what you had is, first of all, you had one piece, so say far from the, say, the northern end of town. They had one piece. Then it started to break up. And then you had three pieces, and it was like it was so bright, the balls of light or the balls of or pieces of the meteor when it was breaking. You know, it looked like somebody would take an arc welder, you know, and you scratch it on the surface, you get that freak bright bluish white glow.
Right.
And that's what it appeared to be. And there was a little bit of smoke behind it, for the trail.
Right.
But, you know, this didn't quite hit the ground. Almost. The guy figured it just about did, but he said, I think it burned up, you know, just completely broke up. and that was it before it hit the ground. But, you know, we're talking total something different, and that's why I agree with you, because we're talking about, a meteor is a meteor, but, hey, triangles, boomerangs, or these round spheres.
That didn't hit the ground.
Transparent, almost, object, disc shape.
Right.
I mean, you could go on just about every kind of object that's out there, rectangular things with light sweeping. They're nothing to do with a meteor.
No, and they don't break up. They don't hit the ground. They don't break up, you know.
I know, and there was just a recent one, too, in Alberta. Now, I did have a go at it because there was a meteor sighting there, and I figured, okay, well, you never know. Hey, I just look what happened in Ontario. I'm not going to pass this one up.
There you go.
So I posted a notice, and I did get two reports, and they were definitely meteor sightings, and nothing else followed up behind because I thought, okay, well, we got a meteor comes through, and then we have all this activity that goes for the whole rest of the month. You never know, so I got to keep my eye on it. Well, nothing happened, but I'll tell you what was going on in Ontario was just bizarre. And like I said in the break to you, the OPP,
yeah.
Two reports of the OPP actually chasing two objects at different times, chasing objects, and this is all following this meteor sighting, as the days went along, chasing objects down the road. Well, they could almost pace it, almost, but the thing would move slowly, just pulling ahead of the officer in his squad car down the highway. It would pull ahead, and all of a sudden, as he figures, hey, maybe I'll just step on the gas a little more, and maybe I can catch up to this thing or get closer to it, this thing just shot off like it was shot out of a cannon. So, I mean, there's some bizarre stuff happening. I heard a lot. I've got quite a few reports of military activity. A lot of people have seen a lot of military in the area in different parts of Ontario for some unknown reason, and not that it can't happen, of course, but all of a sudden, with all this stuff going on in the sky, it seems to be a lot of activity. But no one's talking. And you know what the weirdest thing is?
What?
The weirdest thing to me, and I found this pretty weird. I contacted so many different media outlets, and some of them said, hey, we would like to do the articles, reported it. Said, but we have to leave it to the editor, of course,
right.
The story. Not one story came out in any of the media. None. In I don't know how many newspapers or television or radio. Not one. I found a little surprising. In British Columbia here, for some reason, one report of a triangle, the media jumped on it, and I did interviews for these things. But all these sightings, 81 for sure, and there's more here, I'd have them total demo, for sure, took place in a short period of time. They couldn't care less. That I found a little bit weird. I honestly did. Not a conspiracy thing or nothing, but I did honestly felt that was a little strange. I thought they would be interested. Matter of fact, there was a good sighting here out of Chilliwack just recently. Some object, actually, the ladies got it. She tried to tape it. You can't see nothing in the tape, but you can hear the people down below out of her dorm room, and because she got the footage running, you can hear them talking about, hey, UFO or whatever, and the whole thing's going on. And, God, they've been writing articles and articles and articles on it, It's just so weird.
That is really bizarre.
So I'm wondering. Yeah, I'm just wondering if something was going on and somebody was told to keep quiet. I don't know. I could make maybe I've had one too many UFO reports.
I don't know. Could have been a gag order of some sort, though. Really
it's possible.
And maybe that falls or doesn't fall within the whole conspiracy thing. But I feel like that with that there was some kind of gag order cover up something.
It's almost that.
Yeah.
It really does. And I can't prove it, of course.
We can't. That's their whole point.
Yes, exactly.
If you can't prove it, then therefore it just doesn't exist, right?
Exactly.
Well, let's give your websites again. Let's give them that information as well as the challenge again.
You bet. Okay, you can, folks can, your listeners can find me at www.hbccufo.org or just www.brianvike, all one word, .com. They can reach me through there. My contacts are all there. My challenge, yeah, definitely. First of all, has anybody ever seen a sighting anywhere? Please get it in, don't matter how old it is. But particularly right now, too, because I'm so interested in working on some cases on Mineral Wells, Texas, Fort Stockton, Texas, Missouri, St. Louis, Missouri, and he's going back some years. Possible if you've had a boomerang sighting, please get the information in. Oh, Thousand Oaks, California, another very important one to me. Any information back from the 75, gosh, I'd love to hear from you.
Well, and I'd like to follow up with you when you get some more information on that Thousand Oaks, because I'd really like to find out how come everyone fell asleep.
Yeah, isn't that weird?
I would. I really would, Brian. I think that's just pretty
interesting. And you know, too, what I'll do is I'll send you the link, the actual direct link. So if you're sitting around lounge and taking these, you can listen. It's about a 3.5-hour interview I did with all four of them.
I would love it. That would be excellent.
I'll send you a direct link to it.
Oh, that sounds excellent. And so you guys out there, take the challenge. If you know, or if you know of somebody else that knows anything about these cases or have your own UFO sightings, please contact Brian at hbccufo.com.
.com or org, it'll do.
Oh,
.org,
and it's .com for brianvike.com. I'll get it out, you guys. Brian, as always, this has just been such a delight. I so appreciate you being here. I can't wait until the next time you're back on.
Okay, dear, thanks so much. It's always a great pleasure.
You guys stay tuned, and we're going to be right back.
Sure to check out Mark Kerr's debut CD, One Drink Away from the Blues, at www.cdbaby.com. This flawless debut performance earned Mark an induction into the Blues Hall of Fame as Ambassador to the Blues for the state of Louisiana. Also, it earned him a nomination for a Musician of the Year in 2006 by the Academy of Texas Music. Mark Kerr, One Drink Away from the Blues, at www.cdbaby.com.
Vitalizer Plus Advanced Oxygenation System. The Vitalizer Plus is scientifically documented to do four things. 1. Structure water. 2. Increase oxygen. 3. To add minerals. And 4. To add energy. Go to perfectlyorganic.net. That's perfectlyorganic.net and get yours now.
Check out Rebecca's website for the latest Journeys news and more. Log on to www.journeyswithrebecca.com.
Another great show with my wonderful guest, Brian Vike, ufologist and researcher. So please go to the website, hbccufo.com, and of course, thank you for listening. Now, you can find out more about Brian and other guests on my website, JourneysWithRebecca.com, and of course, please check out the sponsors of Journeys, Fate Magazine, published continuously since 1948, and our newest sponsor, PerfectlyOrganic.net, for simply the best health products around. Now, we have listed all the upcoming guests in the weeks to come, so be sure to mark your calendars to listen. And remember, if you missed a show, you can find it right there on the audio archives. And you know, I say this a lot, Journeys with Rebecca Radio Show is designed to provide information from the guests for you, the audience. We do have a wide range of topics that we present to you. Here's a short listing of some of the guests in the next few weeks. Now, Dr. Gibson, it will be on with Your Immortal Body of Light. Carl Helvey, Healthy Holistic Aging. Christine Lennox, The Simple Truth About God. And Mark Kimmel, Birthing a New Civilization. And lots more guests. I love to hear from you guys out there. So write to me. Let me know what you think of the show or my guest. Email me at mailbag@journeyswithrebecca.com, or you can leave me a message on my comment line, 913-825-5224. And please don't forget to sign up for the free newsletter that I send out each week to inform you of the upcoming guests, show topics, and of course contact information for the show. And of course, that very summer special reading that I have going on, if you wanted to get a reading, now is the time to take advantage of it. And please join me every Saturday night for my live show at 8 p.m. Central Time on many of the great stations right here in the Journeys family. We've so enjoyed Brian Vike. Please be sure to check out his website. So until we meet again, where will your life's journey lead you? Many blessings and good night.